Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series, your audio source for international produce markets, trends, market reports, and community discussion. Join us somewhere in the world as we cover all aspects of the international produce and supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your host, Juanita Galio.
Hola, bonjour, bienvenue to the Global Fresh Series. I have the pleasure of being in Tampa, Florida today at the Ag Life Media Studios. It's really fun to actually be doing my podcast in the studio where I started. And I'm here with Patrick Kelly, who I'll be bringing on a little bit later. I wanted to talk about, I know I was doing the ESM report, the European Supermarket, the annual grocery report for 2025. And by the way, I have not finished that up yet. I still have about four more countries to talk about. So that will be coming up in a future episode. But I thought about it, and we're at towards the end of the year. And 2025 has been like no other year. I liken it to a California earthquake. 2025 has been like a 8.5 on the Richter scale, just shaking everything up because so many things have shifted. And I just kind of wanted to recap that as well in terms of even new markets. For example, Peru, which originally sends about 60% of their blueberries to the U.S. market, this year sent that 60% to China. Same thing with Chile, sending blueberries. But most of all, they sent a huge shipment of cherries, which I talked about in an earlier podcast, that went to China. There was a bit of a debacle. The cherries arrived in very poor condition, but it wasn't their fault because it had to do with the ship that it was transporting the cherries on. So there was a lot going on that showed that there are definitely different markets shifting. At the moment, the Northwest cherries is really upping their exports to India. So we're taking a look also at some of the commodities that have really started to take off. For example, we've had avocados for some time to the point where other countries are really jumping in. For example, Peru and Colombia. Colombia avocados are coming on really strong into the U.S. market and have branded it. Colombia avocados are doing a lot of consumer promotions. And then I think the commodities that have done really well are the ones that have very high health benefits. And you know what's really popping up little by little? I'm seeing it in newspapers and certain magazines. Potatoes. Everyone thinks a lowly potato, but as you heard, I know you didn't see it, in one of my earlier podcasts, I talked about this woman who she's no longer alive, but she made the potato, at least in France. She really lifted it up through an art exhibit where she brought in 1,500 pounds of potatoes and dumped them on the floor. She herself is in a potato costume with just her head sticking out and her feet. And as people are walking by, she has a hidden mic in her costume and she's naming all the different potato varieties. So it's just, there's been this resurgence. And for example, I just read an article in the New York Times how potatoes have gotten a bad rap, but actually They're the two potatoes, the two varieties that have a lower GI index, and that has to do with how quickly your body turns into sugar, are the fingerling potatoes and red potatoes. And it also talked about the best way to make them, which is to broil them or bake them to really keep that GI index on a low level. And of course, if you're going to be adding sour cream and all the other accoutrements, it's just going to increase the sugar level and calories and so forth. So just enjoy your potatoes along with your other side dishes and a main meal. So that's what I found interesting this year, that potatoes, I keep seeing articles, this little resurgence of articles popping up on potatoes. I think potatoes are going to piggyback off avocados because one of the ways I like to eat when I mash the potatoes or open them up like a baked potato, this is a red potato or the fingerlings, I like to put an avocado. I like to crush avocado with my potato, and it's really delicious. So as I mentioned, I just wanted to kind of wrap up so far where we are this year. And all the podcasts that I've done, I realize, wow, we've had a lot of changes. It's been earth-shattering with tariffs and new markets and new products. And I think that another thing that I've noticed being out there is how competitive things are getting, especially with grocery supermarket chains, not only in the U.S., but in Europe, consolidating. And so there's been some very creative marketing with some of the companies. And the most recent that popped up on my radar was a robot. And this robot is in the Intermarché supermarket in France. And guess what the name of the robot is? It's not a typical name like Jean-Pierre or Pierre. It's called Bob, Bob Del Monte. And this robot wanders around the produce aisles and entices consumers to pick up bananas, not only bananas, but tropical fruit. So I'm wondering, Bob, that's a very interesting name to have in a French supermarket. And without elaborating on this any further, I'm going to bring Patrick into the discussion and see what he thinks about this.
Great to be here, Juanita, in the studio. You brought potatoes up. I'm going to go back before we go into Bob. It's interesting how much we start to learn about potatoes. We've got a great Canadian sponsor, and it's always funny because people always, you know, ask us, like, do you only promote the people you sponsor or vice versa? And I go, no, it's just the education that we get once we start, you know, being involved with someone, right, is they're always giving us so much information about things that we just never knew, right?
I never knew there was that much to know about potatoes because peak of the market, it's not just Pam who's so passionate about.
No.
But her whole team. And you know who I've really learned a lot about the potatoes is Tracy.
Yeah, 100%.
She is a potato scientist.
Most people don't know that. Like there are potato scientists, right? There's actually scientists for all types of agronomy, right? All different types. Almost like the produce industry. We have niches. Same thing. No difference in the lady that we will be interviewing coming up on the history of fresh produce. She was the food biologist for NASA.
Wow.
Right. What do you mean? Well,
I'd like to know
what items can they take
into space?
Well, banana's one of them. You can't bring a banana to space.
Do you know why?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Well, what does it produce if left on the shelf?
Ethylene.
Can't have ethylene being produced in a space shuttle that's being pumped with oxygen, can you?
That makes perfect sense.
Sorry, bananas. So I think that those are just items, right, or things that we get to learn over time with dealing with new sponsors and things like that. And obviously, you talked about avocados, right? So
avocados are still on a roll. They are the supermodel,
right,
of the fresh produce.
And I always promote California first. You already know that because why? Yeah. I'm a Californian, so I'm always like California citrus, California avocados. But we also know that the seasons are not there, which is why we need some of these amazing imports from these countries that are just as, I would say, good, right? Because again, as I say, I love summer citrus from South Africa. Why? Because we don't have summer navels
and
from California.
And it's fresh and it's delicious.
Right?
Yeah. And another one coming up is the Nardacot from Morocco.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to not buy it because of those reasons, right? So it's always fun to learn. And then we talk about old Bob here. But let's be real. Del Monte, what, 100-year-old company? Right?
A lot of Bobs in Del Monte.
I was going to say, I would not be remiss to say that this was that old white man company because we talk about this a lot. I mean, agriculture was the Bobs, the Jacks, the Kens, the right?
Like, yes.
This is what the farmers were. So when I see Bob, they might have named it after somebody that was one of their quality control inspectors or, you know, we don't know the whole history
I'd love to know the history behind it.
I would love to know the Del Monte, we would love to know the history behind that.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I thought it was very interesting to have, I think it's a great idea to have this interactive robot because first of all, it's going to get people really interested in terms of, qu'est-ce que c'est, qu'est-ce que, pourquoi est-ce que là?
I love what you said, like, say it in French, but if you were to ask this robot a question with using its name versus using a French name. I thought that was the best thing because it's so American of us, right? I guess I can say that, but like Juanita's lived in other countries, everyone. So it's like, well, what would it sound like with Bob and they were speaking?
Bonjour, Bob. Pourquoi est-ce que vous avez le nom?
And then what about a French name?
I just thought it would be something like Jean-Pierre, you know, a typical Francois.
But it goes more, it goes smoother. So introduce someone that has a French name instead of Bob, right? It sounds way
curious.
Smoother. So yeah, I've seen B-O-B an acronym?
I don't know. We'll have to dig further on that.
All right, Del Monte, or anybody listening to the show, have Del Monte reach out to us because we would like to have him on the show to talk about.
No, we actually want Bob on the show.
Yeah. Oh,
we want the interactive robot.
B-O-B, hit me up. Slide into the DM if you know what that means, Bob, because you should know. And you're a robot. I'm just saying.
Well, that's another thing that's really shaking
up. So what was the question? Was the question about the name or about the robot?
No, the robot, it makes sense. It's very interesting. And as I was saying, I think that there's so much competition. Look about bananas. Highly competitive. So to put something like an interactive robot in the store, especially in the produce area, really is compelling.
Yeah, I understand. I've seen it though. Amazon Fresh stores have Alexa in the stores.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
So it's not a robot, but there's Alexas all throughout the aisles. Mm-hmm. So if you stop at Alexa, you can say, "Hey Alexa, what are the fresh produce deals of the day?" And then it'll tell you what the deals are, just like Alexa does at home, and then tell you which aisle it's on. But they do it throughout the entire store. So not just meat, dairy,
they're really trying
produce.
To get people to move around in
exactly.
the store.
Yeah. Schnucks has a robot in their store. It's a big robot. So,
you know what I have seen on the streets of Los Angeles are the robots going down the sidewalks.
To live and die in LA, baby. I get it. No,
And I guess they're carrying food. They're delivering food, these robots.
Oh, wow.
And I think to myself, wouldn't someone hijack, like these homeless people in Los Angeles, hijack
no.
them?
Why would they want? It's like the same thing with ATMs. Only the idiots try to break into the ATMs. Like money's sitting there, just like food is, right?
Yeah,
but
right?
It's only the idiots that try, because listen, no problem. You might do that once, but then it's never going to come around again, right? Food, money, whatever it might be, right? So I'm with you on that, but I think we're all trying to use AI in a different way, right? And I think globally we're trying to understand AI and how can it help the customer experience. But I'm going to go back to the same thing I said to you on my podcast earlier this week is we got to look at the customer experience first and then build technology into the customer experience.
Yeah. Speaking of the customer experience, when I was doing the ESM report, I found it really interesting with sustainability. And this was like a company that did this very in-depth research. They found that I think it was only Generation Z and Boomers who cared about sustainabilities. The other generations, it was off. They didn't care at all. And I found that quite. I thought everyone was, especially in Europe, would be much more in tune with sustainability. But we have so much more to talk about. We want to recognize our fabulous sponsor, Peak of the Market, proudly Canadian and from Manitoba. And we're going to cut to commercial and be right back.
120 years ago, in Groningen, the Netherlands, a small produce business began, trading fresh local fruits. By the 1930s, the Vandenberg family moved to Rotterdam, Europe's burgeoning fruit hub. But when the 1940s brought turmoil, they fled to America, rebuilding their legacy in fresh produce. In 1958, Jack Vandenberg became a trailblazer, importing fresh Chilean fruit to the US, opening doors to global flavors. Today, that spirit of growth and innovation continues with sustainable packaging, carbon footprint tracking, and the finest fruit varieties. We're redefining freshness for the future. Family, fresh, innovation, celebrating a legacy 120 years in the making. This is Jack Vandenberg.
Zag Technical Services, we do many things. Managed services for IT needs, including consulting. Another area of expertise for us is cybersecurity, making sure that there's awareness and risk prevention. And then the final piece is the data and software services, where whether it's software automation, data management, even AI, we have things that we can do to help your business. those are core components that your company relies on. So we have a rich history of being able to manage these IT services so that you don't have to worry about them. You trust us so that we keep your operations going and your business going ultimately. When we talk about what AI can do for you and the time savings, even though you don't think you have something that you can just put AI in, you probably do if you have a business case that could be benefited from automation or efficiencies that are brought in. We can trust AI to do those things. And the beauty of that is you can free up time for your employees to do more meaningful work. So even if you think you may not benefit, I think it's worth a conversation because you will be surprised. We'll walk you through every step of the way and we're here to help.
Back to Act Two of the Global Fresh series. Glad you are able to join us. So wherever you are, if you're somewhere where it's upside down, Australia, New Zealand, wake up because we're getting back into it. And we're hoping that you like that Jack Vandenberg and Zag Technical Service commercials. I particularly like the Jack Vandenberg because it's just so interesting the way everything kind of black and white and shows the innovation and where that company has come from. And speaking of that, each of our sponsors brings something truly special to the table. Stellar products, innovative services, and inspiring storytelling. That's why you don't want to miss any episode from the Produce Industry Network. So here we are. Let's look at a couple more of our sponsors because we have so many. They're all great, but let me recognize just a couple more here. Columbia Avocados. It is their main season, and Columbia has volume and quality to support promotional programs and fill your supply gaps. Columbia Avocados meet your growing category demand year-round. Columbia Avocados. And if you have not checked out the DRC, a nonprofit association, you need to, because they can educate you on how to mitigate your risk and avoid conflict that can really arise during global trade issues. So trade with confidence by becoming a member of the DRC. Make sure you check them out at, that is the DRC. I know sometimes I talk too quickly, so I want to make sure I get that in there. So what do we love about the Global Fresh series? It helps you to bring those valuable connections that make our industry stronger and more vibrant. And before we left off for break, I was talking about the global produce shifts during 2024, things that I have never seen before, which is, I feel like it's a 7.8 earthquake within the fresh produce industry. The whole landscape is shifting, and it could have long-lasting impacts on the fresh produce supply chain. We are seeing the Southern Hemisphere countries entertain breaking into China market for long-term growth with blueberries, cherries, and grapes. And I know that we don't deal directly in soybeans, but speaking of that, the soybean farmers, which traditionally sell to China, they have not sold one order to China yet. Talking about shifting supply chain, China is going to Argentina to purchase all their soybeans. Colombia is making inroads in the U.S. market with tremendous avocado growth. They've even branded their avocados Colombia Avocados. So I'm going to turn to Patrick to find out from him, what shifts or trends have you seen in the fresh produce horizon?
Juanita, thank you for having me in the studio. I was actually building a paper airplane. Why would I build a paper airplane? Because I think we're going to probably travel across the pond again.
Absolutely.
For some trade shows. So
I'll fly this back to you.
What I think is cool is that we're in the same studio doing this together.
I love it.
That's what excites me the most about all of this is just, you know, when this thing first started in 2020, and I'm going to lead in these trends, right? Is in 2020, you know, we were trying to figure out what to do
because everything was locked down, right?
Exactly. And the newspapers were out just getting stories after stories from people like, what are they doing? And obviously, you know, within 2 weeks, we started the Produce Industry podcast, thankful to Chris Kremitzos, Neil Galarte, and, you know, Gabe Aloisi and things like, you know, those guys that were just there for me, right? Like, hey, let's do this, right?
I'm pushing you along.
Right. And we saw that there was a need for video, for audio. And I think that over the last few years, there has been a really increase of telling your story.
It's
right?
all about storytelling.
100%.
And the companies can do the best job at telling the story. Like I said, the Jack Vandenberg commercial is an excellent example because it's in 100%. Black and white showing, you know, how far back they went coming from the Netherlands.
Yeah.
All the way to New York City to where they are today, bringing in all these imports
right?
from everywhere. Yeah.
And I think that's important, right? And you know, when I spoke at Fruit Logistica in February
of this year,
one of the things that I said was, who do you want to tell your story? Right. And that's why I started to develop that Ag Life Media, because I started to see the trends, right? And you asked about trends, Bull, how do retailers buy? How do wholesalers buy?
How do consumers?
Right. And then that's why I say, yes, but they're all consumers.
Yeah.
You know? And so I started to see that a lot of the big guys, big girls, they were telling their story. They were advertising, they were marketing, they were getting out the things that they do, right? So obviously leading into now, it's 2025, you know, soon to be 2026, right? How
scary.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like we are attached to being a global economy, right? 100%.
Absolutely.
And it's always been that way, but mm-hmm. I feel now with digital presence, a lot of things are happening more. A lot of things are happening faster. Decisions are being made a little bit quicker, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, all the things that I could say that have happened this year, you know, between tariffs, between supply chain. I mean, if you remember, I was up at Holt Logistics, the porch for the port strike, you know, and seeing a lot of these trends, these global trends. You know, if you were to ask me like, hey, what do you foresee going to happen? Well, change.
Huge change.
More change.
Yes.
One thing I'm going to tell you is be ready for more change. We're going to start seeing new supply chains, new products, new ways of marketing, we're going to see a lot of new things.
We've already seen it with companies approaching us in Europe, asking us to help them develop customers in South America or the Far
you're
East.
Right. And we or have South Africa asking us to help with
Europe. Yeah. And we have the capability to do that. So it's really nice to be able to turn and pivot.
100%. And it's like from the first part of the episode, us talking about some of the things that were happening, right? And now talk about some of the things that we're going to be doing, right?
We've got a full calendar already.
100%, right?
We
full
have
calendar
new trade shows, even in Europe, starting
we're
with
be
Fruit Logistica.
No, not even start. No, let's go back. We are actually going to be in January. We're going to be at Swipe.
Yes, new show, right?
That's a new show. I'll be there. I'm going to do some marketing for them. We're going to do some on-the-floor podcasts. And again, right, I want to tell your story. I mean, that's the goal of this, right? I always say, Juanita, like, I'm not posting about my story. I'm not posting about being son of an immigrant and, right, all this. I tell people about it, right? But I want to tell your story the way you want it told.
One of the best ones that I have seen so far this year has been the Vogue story out of Austria with the Marlena apple. I mean, they took that apple, Marlena has a personality now.
It does, yeah.
I mean, she even speaks when you go on the Vogue website, and
so
from Marlena, you click on it, and she speaks. She's the daughter of the Alps.
So cool.
She has a full-on personality, and that's I haven't seen that any other commodity or piece of fruit or vegetable take on a human personality
or an AI voice or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they had Bobby the banana. Remember, Dan's always talking about Bobby the banana, but I think this is way beyond Bobby the banana.
Yeah,
right?
No, that's what I'm talking about when you tell a story.
And I think that's cool. Right after Swipe, mm-hmm. we've got Podfest.
Yep.
So I always tell you, like, we don't here in the Produce Industry Network, Ag Life Media, we do not just go to produce conferences. I urge you, if you're a marketing director, if you're maybe coming up in the marketing world, you got to go to other podcasts. You got to go to other marketing conferences. Podfest will teach you how to make those GIFs, how long video should be, right? It teaches you maybe how to edit, what software is coming out. Oh, what if your owner's looking to get into a TED Talk? They tell you how to do TED Talks at Podfest, how to apply for TED Talks. Our industry needs this kind of stuff. So I welcome. Hey, just to let you know, if you want to come to Podfest, I will buy your first ticket. So I will buy you a creator pass.
and I will pay it forward to you. We have one person who's already signed up for that, which is Dino Cardelli. Dino runs his own consulting services in Miami, and he wants to learn. So I bought Dino's ticket already.
There's so much to learn with the podcast, right? Because so many people go, oh, I'm going to start a podcast. And once you learn about all the behind the scenes things that have to make it successful, it's a lot of work.
100%. And then we have right after that, we have Frula Jessica.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Berlin in the freezing cold.
Yeah, I agree.
It's still a fabulous city.
I need a big furry trench coat.
Yeah, we're going to find you one.
Listen, you can't have a coat that goes down to mid thighs. You got to have a coat that goes down to your ankles. Okay. Like, I'm going to pull a Neo on the Matrix, and I need a full on trench coat mafia going on. So I think that we're going to tassel with a lot of change. We've heard from South Africans that, they're going to be living in a world of tariffs because they're the way our two governments, it's not just about citrus. Mm-hmm. It's about other products and commodities they're trading with back and forth. So
speaking of that, it was just an article in the Wall Street Journal this week. It doesn't look like we're going to have pasta from Italy. Going to be stopping too. So it's all across the board.
Yep. I'm glad I eat the vegan pasta. I do the plant-based pasta.
Oh, I'm going to miss pasta.
Yeah. I can't. My body. It has pasta loves, I mean,
not everyone.
I love pasta, but pasta doesn't love me. It doesn't. There's so many things that my body will not allow me. And if I do eat it, you've seen
the results.
Yeah. I gotta go. I think a lot of things are happening. A lot of new shows, February. I mean, SCPC, you've got a lot of things happening, right? I'm going to the PROACT conference in April. I'm going to be speaking about the generational gap, millennial boom at PROACT. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of vendors, a lot of new associates that I probably have never met before. And guess what? We're talking about the generational gap.
It really, really does exist. And that's where marketers really need to know those segments, because you have different products, different way to package it, and different way to carry the message to these people.
100%. Yeah. 100%. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, I agree. So, I would say the millennial boom, you're a boomer. I'm a millennial. Our new PA, our production assistant, is a Gen Z. So think about this. You go to say, wait, are you missing a Gen Xer? Yeah, we are, right? That works for us. But we have a co-host who's a Gen Xer. That's Ross.
That's true. Yeah.
So we here are working
all generations
with five, and I say four in-house. But then we go to Colleen at Hawaii Produce, which she was on our videos. She is the next generation above. So now we have five generations that we are working with here at the Produce Industry Network. How cool is that? And I love talking about it. So that's one of my main things that I love.
It's a reality show in the making, really. Yeah.
So like I said, millennial boom, it's about thriving and working together. That's what it's about. So that's what I'm hoping to touch the industry at PROACT with that.
Well, I'm sure you'll do a great job.
Yeah, we'll see.
Didn't you write a book on that?
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure I'll do a good job.
Yeah, and I'm really excited later in April. I think it's about April 28th. I'll be going for the first time to MacFruit in Rimini, Italy, which is a premier show, fresh produce show in Italy.
Oh, you missed one, though. Viva Fresh the week before that.
Oh, yeah, Viva Fresh, and then CPMA as well.
And then CPMA
right
after that.
So I'm just talking about some of the international ones that I'll be going to, because these are 100%. All new. These are all new shows. And I went to Fruit Attraction for the first time just about a month ago, which yielded some great, great contacts.
Some fun. 100%.
And this is where you kind of have your ear to the ground, because as I said, we're hearing different things there than what we're hearing here about the tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, it's kind of non-existent now anymore. Yeah. They've just decided we're on our own. We're going to go out and find
It's the same thing with what we need to do. And I think just a lot of times we're not used to doing that, but other countries are used to doing that. They're used to going to Europe for their main sales. See, the issue with the U.S. is sometimes we get very comfortable with the customers and clients we have here. And I love them all of our retails, all our wholesalers. You're the lifeblood right next to the grower, packer, shippers. But when look what stuff happens, like the SNAP benefits or EBT, so orders are getting cut back, we all of a sudden go into a panic of where are we going to sell the fruit to? They don't go into a panic. They start calling those other countries. We as protocol, right? Sometimes we can't do that because there's protocol. And if you didn't sign up for the protocol that skirt the trees and have copper spraying and stuff like that, you can't export your fruit.
Well, I thought it was really interesting during COVID because the people that were the food service, the food was there, but it was packaged so differently. How do you get it? You can't sell it in a retail.
Yep, exactly.
So it's exactly. I always say that in the fresh produce industry, you're great marketers because you learn how to turn on a dime.
Yep.
With anything that happens.
I agree.
So are we almost out of time here?
I think we've given a lot. I think, yeah. You know, this two sessions recorded two different days in the studio the same week. I think we've given your international listeners some good stuff. We want to get more international listeners. So please, Juanita had a great idea of bringing an international spot to the Ag Life Media page.
Right.
We've got our supply chain side, but this could be featured all international stories.
We do have to mention that the Ag Life Media does come now in different languages. You can click up at the top for Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we have another one.
We're working on English. Yeah.
It's already in English, but we're going to have different.
You can filter it to old English tile, what they have in England. But we're working on French
and maybe German.
We're working.
So that's
going
to be huge.
Like
to have we're truly looking at a global aspect because that's where it's all about. I mean, it's not just localized to any one country. With fresh produce, I say we're like woven into each other. Everything just kind of has to go through so many different 100%. Places. Yeah.
And then looking at the other pages, the meats, the dairies, mm-hmm. the poultry, the seafood. These are good ways for cross promotion. And you guys will see next year, we'll have some seafood companies because we've had them reach out. Like, we do cross promotions with those departments. So think about that. Like, and if you're in produce right now, we have seafood companies and beef companies that are like, well, man, no one just eats fish by itself.
There's asparagus, you shop the whole store, right?
There's everything. So yeah. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. And I love doing this together and being in person. Right.
Yeah, it was really a pleasure to come out to Tampa and do the podcast here, your podcast, my podcast.
Yep.
And hopefully I'll be able to do a lot more of this.
Agreed.
So thank you so much. Make sure you check out Ag Life Media. It's really growing. How many viewers do we have now in Ag Life Media?
Viewership is 126,000 returning viewers with over 1.6 million views to the site.
That's pretty impressive because it's only been up for...
Since February 4th.
February 4th. All right. So as we say here at the Produce Industry Network, we will see you somewhere in the fields,
coming out of the fields.
On the horizon or a trade show somewhere or in an airport as you're traveling. Don't you see a lot of people?
Or maybe a paper airplane.
Yeah. Don't you see a lot of people in the airports as we're going to trade shows?
100%.
Thank you so much for joining us.
This episode is brought to you by Midwestern Goodbyes.
You've been listening to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series with Juanita Gallio. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon to get new fresh episodes. For more, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Produce Industry Podcast. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.